Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Damn right!
Athletics yesterday. Lots of good things happening for Rebel programs all across the board yesterday. We're going to get into a little bit of all of it. Spring practice started yesterday as well, and we, the media, get our first view of this Ole Miss football team this afternoon. Of course, they'll be in the Manning Center, not necessarily just because it's a rainy, cloudy, overcast, gloomy day in Oxford, but because there are no other available football fields on the Ole Miss campus. Everything with this spring will be indoors. Looking forward to it. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage on Rebels 247, Hugh Freeze's 1 o'clock press conference scheduled for today, as well as our observations from practice. Expect a huge photo gallery. I know you guys like to see these new Rebels in their Ole Miss helmets for the first time, and our photographer, John Bowen, will be roaming the sidelines inside the Manning Center this afternoon at practice to capture all of that imagery for you. I guarantee you we'll get a shot of Shea Patterson throwing the football for you. Going to try to get some video clips of practice as well, so lots of fun stuff coming out front on Rebels 247 as the day progresses. So excited. Big Wednesday yesterday, as we alluded to. A huge victory last night for the Ole Miss basketball team in terms of pride, bragging rights, things of that nature. Also, SEC tournament seeding. Stephon Moody went off on Mississippi State on senior night with 43 points. And we'll talk a little bit more in depth about Moody's performance in that game as things progress today. The Ole Miss baseball team comes from six runs down to the nagging nemesis Memphis Tigers, who the Rebels seem to kind of trip up on every now and then. Not yesterday, though, as the bats wake up and they erase, as we said, a six-run deficit to come back for a victory. But Dave Bevan, probably the biggest story of the day, had to do with the Ole Miss football program and had nothing to do with spring practice. How about Hugh Freeze and company keeping a card in their pocket? And they go out and get one of the Pac-12's top middle linebackers in Rommel Maggio to transfer to Ole Miss. He's going to be immediately eligible, Dave. And this kid, 87 tackles last year, led Oregon State in tackles. He's a postgraduate transfer. That's why he's eligible to play immediately. He will arrive on campus in June. And you want to talk about just what the doctor ordered, Dave? I mean, Rommel, what a welcome addition to the product Hugh Freeze is going to put on the field this fall.
Oh, it is a huge get for this Ole Miss football team, David. As you mentioned, Rommel Maggio, he is a potential immediate impact player. I mean, he's got to be with that 1 year of eligibility. And as you mentioned, you know, he is the leading tackler of the 2015 season for Oregon State. You know, I posted a article up on the site. It's on the front page as this podcast is rolling about the spring setter for the linebackers. And, you know, the linebacker core, the concern heading into the spring, it's not so much talent. There is some talent coming in the linebacker core. It's the experience that is the most concerned. The Rebels, they lose 19 starts from last season. They carry in six starts returning in the spring. So it's the experience of in-game play that is a concern. And with Maggio coming into the picture, you know, during the summer and getting in here and being an immediate eligible to play come fall, that poses a guy who's already had 20 starts in the Pac-12 conference. So it's, like you said, David, it's a huge get for this team at a very critical time. And it gives a chance for, guys like Sean Curtis, who's coming into the spring with high expectations, coming off of a red shirt, and then you got early enrollee Dontaya Evans, who's got a chance to, progress this spring and possibly, have the potential to earn some playing time this fall. It gives those couple guys, in that middle linebacker role, a chance to, develop and come, game one against Florida State, not too much weight is on their shoulders, with this big get for Ole Miss.
Yeah, and the question's been asked on the board, why did he leave Oregon State? Pretty much the defensive scheme they're employing out there probably doesn't lend itself to his skill set as much as what Ole Miss's 4-2-5 will. And, certainly, I mean, he looks tailor-made to come in and fill the void that's left behind by C.J. Johnson at middle linebacker. And you got to be excited if you're an Ole Miss fan. And you go back to National Signing Day, and Freeze said, "Hey, I could have taken 31. He only took 24. That's the reason why. You hold some back in your pocket like that because you don't know who's going to pop loose. And they're in on a big defensive lineman down at Holmes, Mississippi Community College, named Josiah Cotney right now. I crystal balled Josiah to Ole Miss on yesterday, just based off of. The things I'm hearing right now, I think Ole Miss has an outstanding shot. He'll be in to take an official visit at the end of this month. He is a 2016 guy. He is a guy who will be eligible to play immediately as well and have three seasons of eligibility remaining because he sat out. He was a part of the high school 2014 class, sat out the 2014 season, concentrated on academics, then played last fall at Holmes. And now he's ready to play three seasons at a four-year school. He'll graduate from JUCO in May. So we'll keep our eyes on that one for you as that could be another addition to the 2016 class. Now, I've been asked about Maggio and whether or not he would count in those 2016 class rankings. No, he would not. He's classified as a transfer, so not a member of that 16 signing class technically. Cotney, however, would. So, if Ole Miss adds him, there could be a little shift in the 247 Sports team rankings for the finality of that 2016 class. 2017 class, some of the cornerstones already being laid right now. Three commits in there, of course, and Markell Winters, the JUCO DN out of Jones, who told me the other night, he texted me the other night and said South Carolina was really, really turning the heat up on him. We'll see how all of that plays out. Remember, it's JUCO recruiting, and anything can happen and often does. Wide receiver Dede Bowie, one of the top pass catchers in the country out of Morton, Mississippi, already part of the Ole Miss 2017 class. We think Dede is solid, very, very solid. And, of course, Ben Brown, there's no one who will be any more solid than him, the three-star lineman out of St. Aloysius in Vicksburg. So that's what you've got in the 2017 class right now. The lingering question always is, who's going to be next? Who's our next commit? I don't have the answer to that. Not at this moment. It's so early in the cycle right now. Ole Miss sprayed out more than 50 offers in the month of February. And a lot of those are, chucking things against the wall to see what will stick, so to speak. They'll weed out who's genuinely interested in them from those offers. Someone was talking on the message board the other day that it's disheartening to look at those 50 offers and Ole Miss only led for maybe one of those in the crystal ball. Guys, it's so early right now. Don't pay any of that any attention. It's not logical to look at that right now because there's so much that's going to happen between now and National Signing Day, as you all very well know. Eight new early enrollees going through spring practice for the first time. That is an incredible number to think that you've got eight guys who were in high school only a couple of months ago already out there going through spring practice with the Rebels. I hear Shea Patterson took some reps with the ones yesterday, just kind of mixing it up a little bit. We'll get our eyes on all of that, as we said, this afternoon with our first viewing of practice, and we'll certainly report everything back to you this evening. But you can expect those guys to swim a little bit. First college practices, you know, they're learning the system. They're learning the nuances of a college football practice. But by the end of the spring, you'll get a pretty good idea of who's going to be ready to contribute early and who may be in line to receive those red shirts. And that's not saying that with any dose of finality, because a lot can happen between spring and fall camp as well. But again, just keep it tuned to Rebels 247, particularly this afternoon and into the evening. We've got to go out to Coach Freeze's press conference. Then we got to sit down and we have to write everything. So just be patient. It's all cool. And then we're gonna scat back out to the practice field and watch them practice, and then we'll come back with more stories, more interviews, photo galleries, and all of that tonight, and hopefully some video clips of practice as well. So big afternoon, big evening in store as we kind of get you updated on what's going on with spring football practice at Ole Miss. Well, let's take it inside for a second, and what happened inside the pavilion last night as the Andy Kennedy version of the Ole Miss Rebels really controlled Mississippi State from tip to the final whistle, in large because of the 43 points from Stephon Moody last night on senior night, probably the best senior night I've ever seen a Rebel have. I might as well say it was the best basketball senior night I've ever seen an Ole Miss Rebel have. Dave, he was hitting from everywhere. He was 6-12 from three-point range, 15-18 from the free throw line. All told, 11-24 from the field. It added up to 43 points. Half of the Rebels, 86 in their 86-78 win over their arch rivals. Mississippi State tried to make it interesting at the end, but just couldn't find the gusto to pull even with the Rebs. And Ole Miss now 19-11, 9-8 in SEC play. And the overall larger narrative has not changed. Ole Miss must win the SEC tournament in order to go to the NCAAs. And that's just where we stand right now, Dave.
You're right, David. Last night it was a great win for Ole Miss to really cap off the regular season at the pavilion with a big win over your in-state rival. You know, avoiding, you know, your in-state rivals to sweep, you know, the regular season, and the Rebels did that. And as you mentioned, you have to give the majority of the credit to Stephon Moody, who accumulated half the team's points in the game with 43. It was a career night for Moody. He tied Ben Simmons this season as the only two SEC players to score that many points, the most points, 43 points in a single game this season. And so it was a career night for him. And, if that did not solidify, you know, the Howell trophy winning, you know, back-to-back years for Stephon Moody, I don't know what can. But as you mentioned, you know, the postseason hopes, it even at this point, that win, it would still, in my opinion, it would take, you know, running the table at Nashville. One thing that the team has struggled this season with is consistency in winning. And you'd like to see Ole Miss to do that. That's going to be hard for them to do, depending on where they place in the seeding. And the seeding, it's logical. I mean, in order to have a good spot, you play the less amount of games at Nashville in the SEC tournament. And if Ole Miss gets a low seeding, well, then they're going to have to play a lot more games, a lot tougher games, you know, a chance to run into that final Sunday for a possible championship. So if they get a low seeding, the stakes are going to be a lot harder for them to accomplish that goal.
Well, and another thing that I think needs to be pointed out is that, we've all kind of sat back and said, well, okay, if they fall short of the NCAA tournament, the Pavilion will get to host an NIT game. But listen, the NCAA has taken over the NIT now, and there are some rather stringent deals that they've placed with NIT, within the NIT tournament that kind of factor in as to whether Ole Miss gets an NIT bid, because you've got deals now that the NIT has with such basketball conferences as the Horizon League, mid-major leagues, that if their regular season champion does not win their postseason conference tournament, the regular season champion gets an automatic bid to the NIT, which takes up some of the 32 spots for that tournament, and it really leaves a lot less at-large bids that a team like Ole Miss could get. So there's no guarantee. So Ole Miss not only trying to fight its way into an NCAA tournament berth, and again, I want to stress, the only way that's happening is if they're cutting down the nets at the SEC tournament in Nashville. They're also in a spot where if they wish to play in the NIT, they have to continue to impress. And certainly reaching 20 victories is one way to do that. This team, as we mentioned, has 19 right now. They play at Tennessee on Saturday to close out the regular season. And that's an important one there, because there's no guarantee that you're going to get a win on a neutral floor in the SEC tournament to bring you to 20. So Ole Miss needs to get that 20th victory on Saturday against Tennessee. And as we talked about earlier this week, it gives them a little momentum going into the conference postseason tournament that they can build upon. Certainly, if Steph Moody can continue to drop in performances like the one he did last night on Mississippi State, Ole Miss has a shot to make a little noise in Nashville. But what you don't want to see is this team come out flat in Knoxville on Saturday in a very difficult environment. It's always difficult on the road, and lay an egg. And then you're rolling into the SEC tournament as a 19-win team, and you really got a little pressure on you to reach that 20-win plateau. So that's kind of setting the stages right now. I agree with you on the Howell Trophy. Steph Moody should win it hands down. My apologies to my friends over at Delta State who feel slighted that their guy, Devin Schmidt, who was the Gulf South Conference Player of the Year Division II basketball, averaging more than 25 points a game, was not even named a finalist. I agree with you guys, hybrid Delta State Ole Miss fans, that Schmidt should have certainly gotten a ticket to the final ceremony, but for whatever reason this year he did not. And that's a raging debate right there. Those trophies, the Howell Trophy, the Gillum Trophy, the Ferris Trophy, the Connerly Trophy, they go to the best college basketball player inside the state of Mississippi, or best baseball, football, women's basketball player annually. And Delta State has had a couple of winners. The first ever Connerly Trophy was won by Delta State running back Tregnell Thomas back in the late 1990s. He won the first ever. Josh Bright, Delta State's quarterback, who led him to a national championship, won a Connerly Trophy as well. So it is not out of the realm of possibility that the smaller schools can have an athlete that not only is a finalist but wins these things. But, you know, let's be honest. It's the difference between the SEC and the GSC. It's Division I basketball. It's major college basketball versus Division II basketball, and there that element of competition and the stage in which you play on certainly has to be factored into it. And I don't think anyone would argue that Stephen Moody is not the best basketball player in the state of Mississippi this year. He deserves the Howell Trophy. He certainly should win it on Monday night, and best of luck to him in that endeavor. So that's what's going on in the world of Andy Kennedy's Hoops team right now. How about Mike Bianco's baseball team? What a start these guys are off to. 7-1 on the season. Memphis rolls into Oxford yesterday, and Dave, they explode out of the gates. They put Ole Miss in a 6-0 hole early, and you're going, well, here we go. Not going to be successful in these midweek games. But then all of a sudden, boom, offense for the Ole Miss baseball team. And the Rebels come from 6 down to beat the Tigers 9-7, improved to 7-1 on the season. And again, there's a tendency to not put a lot of emphasis on these midweek games early in the season. You know when the emphasis is put on them, Dave? Late in the year when it's time for NCAA tournament seeding, and you go back and look at what happened on a Wednesday in early March, and you lost, and it affects you. It has has a negative effect on your seating and the perception, and ultimately you pay the price. So it is very, very good news to see Ole Miss winning these midweek games early in the season, finding a way to win these midweek games. Obviously, they're not throwing their best pitching out there. They had to defeat Arkansas State last week in dramatic bottom of the ninth walk-off fashion to get that midweek win, and then picking themselves up after being in a 6-0 hole yesterday to get another midweek win. Certainly a good sign because, you know, the best quality of a team is that they find a way to win. Now, I know people are already starting to complain about batting averages and, oh, we need to hit the ball. You know, the fact of the matter is they're outscoring their opponents, and that equals victories. That equals a 7-1 start. They've got an opportunity this weekend. They're going to face up with Coastal Carolina. He's ranked number 19 in the country by Baseball America. That would be a big-time quality win. Ole Miss certainly could and should beat Ball State and Cincinnati out there in South Carolina this weekend in this round-robin tournament. And if Ole Miss could go 3-0 in this tournament this weekend in South Carolina, I think you would see them break into the top 10 in most of the national polls because, look, it would put them at 10-1 on the year. And that's certainly one of the hottest starts in the nation.
You're right, David. You put it into good perspective. This Ole Miss baseball team is just – they're finding a way to win. And I was thinking the same thing yesterday as I was watching the game. When they were down 6 runs, you're like, oh, no, here we go. But the hitting just – it was like a light switch. It just turned on, and they started hitting the ball, scoring the runs that they needed, and ended up beating Memphis 9-7. And, you know, we mentioned this in the previous podcast. You know, good baseball teams, they're identified on finding ways to win games. Midweek games they can be very tough, regardless of the opponent, because you're coming off a three consecutive game weekend, very minimal time to prepare, and you know, sometimes you can find yourself in those situations where you're behind and you got to pull off a win. And as you mentioned, you know, there are a few concerns at the beginning of the season with the hitting. But, you know, it's right at the beginning of the season that they can seriously turn things around with the heart of their lineup. There are some guys who are really hitting the ball really well. J.B. Woodman, Kate Blackman, those two guys, you know, stand out right now. And you're right. You know, you're really going to sit back and look at how this team truly looks by the end of the season when you're heading into that SEC tournament. You get that full evaluation, and you know, the hard games are not over for Ole Miss. They've got, you know, Coastal Carolina, you know, coming up this weekend, the possibility of playing those in that round robin tournament. Coastal Carolina is a former postseason team, so Ole Miss, that would definitely be an RPI booster. And like you said, with a good win, good winnings this upcoming weekend, Ole Miss has the possibility to crack inside that top 10 in the national polls.
Exciting times at Ole Miss, and it's extending beyond the Big Three. You got to take a look around campus. Look what's going on with the Ole Miss track and field program in the indoor season. 7 Ole Miss Rebels have qualified for the NCAA indoor championships, and I want to tell you, the girl making the headlines is sophomore Raven Saunders. She's a shot putter, and she has the best shot put season going in NCAA history right now. So we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Raven Saunders just a little bit. She's a transfer from Southern Illinois, follower coach to Ole Miss, and she is just absolutely having an incredible year. She has set a collegiate record on the shot put. And she did it back on February 13th at a meet at Iowa State. Best throw ever by an NCAA woman, 63 feet 1 1/4 inches. That is an unbelievable throw right there.
Wow!
And she's got more seasons left at Ole Miss, and you know, USA Today had her in its print edition a couple of days ago, and she is absolutely incredible. She won national championships, indoor and outdoor, shot put titles last year as a freshman at Southern Illinois. So, you know, looks like a national championship in the shot put for Ole Miss could be right around the corner. That's something to get excited about. I mean, that's an amazing feat right there. And obviously, Raven is an amazing woman to be able to do the things she's doing. You know, how about the Ole Miss softball team? Shout out to those ladies. They're off to a 13-4 start. They've got a tournament here in Oxford this weekend. It doesn't cost anything to go watch softball. Baseball's on the road this weekend. I'd encourage you to go out, pull these ladies on. They're 13-4. What a start for Ole Miss softball under Coach Mike Smith. And Penn State's in town over the weekend, so you get to see an SEC Big Ten matchup at some point in what is called the Red and Blue Classic going on at the Ole Miss softball complex. It is, let's see, Ole Miss is in there, Penn State is in there, Belmont and UMass all in Oxford over the weekend. It'd be great to have a wonderful environment out there for these Ole Miss Rebels as they try to improve themselves even more so. Games start Friday at 4 o'clock. We'll run all the way through Sunday afternoon at the Ole Miss softball complex. So get on out there if you can. If you can't, it's on SEC Network Plus. You can catch all of the action. And, you know, Dave, I guess the one spot that things aren't going well right now in terms of the Ole Miss athletic program, because, you know, both tennis teams off to great starts. You know, big things going on there. Women's basketball, though, not feeling it right now. Their season ended yesterday with a 74-59 loss to Vanderbilt. That was not as close as that final score indicates. Vandy Yank starters. Ole Miss basically finished up against the Vandy second team and did so well. Ole Miss closed the game. You know, this kind of tells the story right here on a 21-2 run. Now, deduct that from that 74-59 final score. And at one point, Vandy was leading 72-37.
Oh,
that's how wide of a gap it was there until Vandy yanked their starters. Ole Miss ended the season 10-20 overall, 2-14 in the SEC. They were the youngest team in the SEC this year, and they return every single player for next year's campaign. That's every single player off a 2-14 SEC team. So, you know, Matt Insull, you know, got off to a roaring start this season, obviously a hiccup on his plans to return Ole Miss women's basketball to its glory. We certainly wish him well, but definitely, Dave, this was a season in which I would imagine they would just as soon forget.
Yeah, I mean, when you lose 11 consecutive games, it is a season, like you said, you just assume to forget. But Matt Insull, you know, he's a very, very highly skilled coach, so I wouldn't put it past him by any means to, you know, turn this team around. They came off to a roaring start in his first season at Ole Miss, and, you know, the expectations may have vamped up a little bit heading into the season. But as you mentioned, you know, this team is one of the youngest teams in the SEC. So some talent, but unexperienced heading into the season. So, you know, with you know, that experience now and, you know, heading after this SEC tournament and going into next season, it shows some promise there. So, And as you mentioned, you know, before, you know, field and track, just a lot of talented athletes that Ole Miss has recruited over the years. And you know, the great performances there, tennis teams off to a good start. Those are sports that we don't really shed light on quite often, but it is very neat to, you know, see those programs excel. And the tennis programs, they've excelled over the years, you know, had some postseason NCAA tournament appearances last season and years before that. And the softball team is very exciting to see that them off to a one of the best starts in Ole Miss softball history with that 13-4 start. So they got a big tournament coming up this weekend.
So that is how it reads. That's the tea leaves right now with the within the Ole Miss athletic program. All of the talk and the drumbeat and everything regarding the NCAA investigation seems to have died down of late. Some of that because the start of baseball season, some of that because of the simple passage of time, the start of spring practice. There are other things out there occupying people's minds. The Tennessee program has taken over the role of chief villain in the SEC now with the allegations up there in Knoxville. And so we wait, just as we knew we would be waiting several weeks ago when all of this was paramount on everyone's mind. And, you know, again, the best vibe we've got on all of that coming to some kind of final solution is probably going to be early fall. Could be September before it is all over, said, and done with. So we wait patiently on that. Well, Dave, today is Thursday. Tonight is Thursday night, believe it or not. And the next Republican debate on national television tonight. And man, oh man, have you ever seen anything get as nasty as this presidential campaign has, the Republican side of things? It's almost to the point, you know, people are lining up to get into the name calling. It's playground-esque. It's grade school-esque, the conduct of these candidates. I'll divulge, I've been a lifelong Republican. I'm leaving the party, okay? I am no longer identifying myself as a Republican. I'm an independent, and I think you just have to be this day and age. There is so much bullcrap, chicanery, and shenanigans that go on in Washington, D.C., and that go on with the media that reports this stuff into your home every day. You know, it's like everyone's in the tank for somebody, and it doesn't matter anymore. Where is the one journalist that covers American politics on a national stage that doesn't have his finger in the dip? I mean, it's you just can't find. Where's Walter Cronkite when you need him? That day and age of journalism is over, and it is sad. You know, the stuff that we learned in school, throw it all out the window. Television has changed everything, and part of that is because of the need for instant gratification and information absorption by society creates sloppy, sloppy reporting. You go for the, pardon the pun here, tips of the iceberg now. Nobody looks under the surface anymore to take their time to give you the complete and accurate story. It's all about sound bites. It's all about getting your clicks on the websites and everything, and it is sad because it makes for an ill-informed public. And you know what? I think what you're seeing is the public is sick of it, and they certainly realize that the politicians, the media, the whole deal. You know, I turn the television on to try to get news and information, and all I get is some jerk in a coat and a tie telling me how I ought to think. And, you know, I think that's what you're seeing with this election. It's an interesting time in American history. And tonight's debate, listen, I'm not watching it for substance. I'm not going to turn that thing on to gain any substance over any message that Donald Trump or Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or poor little John Kasich, who for somehow or another still thinks, I'm disqualifying John Kasich for getting my vote simply because he's not smart enough evidently to realize at this point he doesn't stand a chance in Hades of winning the nomination. If I'm smarter than John Kasich, he doesn't need to be in the White House because I know John Kasich isn't going to be elected and you know John Kasich isn't going to be elected.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to get off on the political realm here, but it's absolutely... It's become a clown show by all of them. And the Republican establishment, for them to gift Donald Trump, whether you like the guy or not, at the same time, they're going to have to, if they're able to successfully deal with Trump, isn't there a time where they're going to have to ask these millions upon millions of Trump supporters to support their candidate, bring them back in the fold? Is that going to happen? I don't think so. So, anyway, that is the freak show that is American politics right now. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on, and I'm not endorsing either side of the fence here. I want to make myself perfectly clear. I'm just commenting on the sidelines of the freak show, because that's what it is. Marco Rubio looks ridiculous. He looks like a third grader with Yo Mama jokes at the last debate. Will he come out with that again tonight? We'll see. We'll see. And then Donald Trump, I don't know. I think the guy could walk up to the podium on the debate stage tonight and strip down to his BBBs and do the entire debate in nothing but his underwear, nothing but his drawers, and his poll numbers would rise tomorrow. I mean, it leaves you scratching your head, doesn't it?
It certainly does, David. I mean, you know, I agree with you. I mean, it just seems like this day and age, it's just becoming a clown show in so many ways. And I couldn't imagine being a political journalist, you know, at this time of the year heading into
the
election.
There are no more days. There are no more political journals. They're all pundits. They're pundits and commentators.
Yeah, it's more like working for something like National Enquirer, something like that, versus the Washington Post. But I agree with you. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, he could strip down to his gibbies tonight and win this debate. A couple of days ago, Alabama's candidacy polls, that it wasn't surprising to me that Clinton and Trump won it. I mean, I wasn't expecting some shocker there with Rubio or Cruz, you know, possibly winning the Republican candidacy there in the state of Alabama. I figured Trump would win that one.
Well, anyway, that's at 8 o'clock tonight. I almost decided to have a live chat tonight following the first spring practice, but you know what? I said, you know what? Well, I'm going to have to compete with this debate. And I know all of our people on Rebel 247 are astute citizens, and they're probably going to have that debate on, and it would probably be more entertaining than anything I could tell them tonight. We will do a live chat in the morning following spring practice to answer questions and talk a little bit more about what we're able to see this afternoon at the Manning Center. But what a freak show. You know, and it's kind of funny. I watch the news a lot, and you're starting to see these pundits now, these Republican pundits, blaming the GOP establishment for not recognizing that Donald Trump was a serious threat early on. They didn't recognize it either. You know, now the blame is all on the GOP establishment when the media was treating Donald Trump as a sideshow. Now, he was the main show, but still as a sideshow in terms of seriousness of being the eventual nominee. And it really is entertaining. It is the sport I am following while football season is in the off season. I guess that's the best way of putting it, and it is bloody. It is absolutely bloody. And hopefully, you know, this is our hope, this is our prayer that a better America emerges out of this process. Maybe it's like making sausage. Nobody likes to see the process, but it's pretty darn good when it comes out the other end of the machine. Hopefully that's what we've got here, and a better, stronger USA will emerge. Because I love this country. It is the best place in this whole wide world by far. I haven't been all over the world, but I've been to a few places, and by all accounts, we're fortunate enough to live in the greatest country in the world. All right, Dave Feather, closing thoughts for you today.
Well, David, a lot of exciting things yesterday, and a lot of exciting things today with spring practice being available first to the media. So look forward to the coverage upcoming with spring practice. There's a lot of excitement in the air with this upcoming 2016 team, and I can't wait to be out there on the field and get that coverage in, because I'm be watching a lot of position groups. I mean, there's a lot of position groups to look at and see how they're going to develop the spring, specifically with, you know, the linebacker corps, you know, finding the adequate depth there. You want to see that defensive line, how, you know, they're going to react without a Robert Kimdichie in the picture. And they did really well last season, at the end of the last season, with Breland Speaks, really highlighting towards the end of the season last year. So he's a lot of excitement to watch up front, and those guys as well. And then you want to look at the secondary is, you know, who's going to be those leaders to emerge to replace a Mike Hilton, a Trey Elston. And eventually we're going to have some guys who are recovering from injuries, like Isaiah Gross, Tony Connor, those guys getting into the picture these practices. So it's going to be exciting. And then on the offense, you want to see who's going to develop on the offensive line, who's going to be that, and of course they're loaded with talent. Who's going to be that guy who emerges to replace the Laquon Treadwell? And then you have the quarterback position, as you mentioned, David, in previous podcasts, there's going to be a battle there, but it's more of who's going to, you know, fill in that number two spot. Is it going to be Shea Patterson? Is it going to be Jason Pellerin behind Chet Kelly next season? And that's all going to unfold this spring, heading into the fall, and it's going to be really exciting to watch.
All right. Well, again, Hugh Freeze's press conference, 1 o'clock this afternoon. Shortly afterwards, we'll start popping up his message on the front of Rebels 247. We'll be at practice starting around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Big-time photo gallery and some video clips coming up later tonight, as well as our analysis of what our eyes are allowed to see this afternoon. I'll leave you with this. A woman's mind is cleaner than a man's. Why is that, Dave?
Absolutely, because a woman's right about everything.
Because she changes it more often.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of words of wisdom there to close this podcast with. Michael Quirk not with us today. He had a late night last night, I understand. Actually, Michael in the pavilion late covering Rebel basketball for us. And Michael will be in Nashville for the SEC tournament. I want to pass that along to you, so you'll have a front row seat on Rebels 247 to all of the action in Nashville, as well as our very talented photographer, John Bowen. John will be there as well, providing video and photographs when the Ole Miss men make it up to Music City for the SEC postseason tournament. I got practice duty today. Cannot wait to see these guys. I may even put an eye or two on my little boy who's out there. Talked to him last night, and kind of swimming first day of practice, but having a lot of fun. So we'll see what this afternoon holds. But keep it tuned, Rebels 247 throughout the day. We're going to be bringing you all of the updates. We know you're excited about Ole Miss and the start of spring football practice. This 10-3 Sugar Bowl champion Ole Miss football team with a lot looking positive for it heading into the fall. The most experienced, the most talented quarterback in the SEC is yours, Rebels fans and Chad Kelly. And that'll go a long way in winning a lot of games. And what a national stage to launch this season from. Florida State Labor Day night, a Monday night, the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. Only game in town that night, baby. The whole country will be watching your Ole Miss Rebels as they take on Florida State in one of the most exciting opening weekend games of a whole bunch of opening weekend games that ought to create a lot of excitement this college football season. Well, that's going to do it for us today. We always appreciate you giving us a part of your day on Rebels247.com. We know your time is precious, and we do not aim to waste it. So for my good buddy Dave Bevin, Let me say this about Dave. Dave produces these podcasts for us, and he does an excellent job. And always kind of behind the scenes there, but Dave's pushing the buttons on these things. He tells me we're going to get some new lead-in music at some point. I'm waiting on that.
Working on it. Yeah,
he's working on it.
We definitely, David, we talked about our discussion of taste and music, so not going to spoil it, but, you know, we'll definitely revamp this thing and make it pretty energetic to start the show for sure.
Maybe a little heavy metal thunder coming our way. We'll see what Dave Bevan's got in store for us. I like the Are You Ready opening, but a little thunderous approach every now and then would not that would not hurt my feelings whatsoever. Okay, Rebel fans, thank you all once again for joining us on the Rebel Rise Live podcast. As always, hottie toddy.